if we're going to eat with them and go to school with them and go to church with them, the time is going to come. I'll not live to see it. I'm 81 years old. The time is going to come when some of you that sit in this audience today will have grandchildren with Negro blood.
Brother Nevins, our time is up unless...
I move that we eliminate this whole third section from the report.
Brethren, let's, in tonight's action, let's be Christian in every way. The motion is made and seconded that this third section be stricken from the report. Motion is made and seconded. The brother on, and we had better have a motion to extend the time because we are past time now. Motion is made and seconded that we extend the time 5 minutes. Those favoring will please say aye. It is so ordered, and the brother on number 2 microphone has the floor. And your name, please, sir. We cannot hear you, dear friend.
My name is Dr. McKee.
That's better.
I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, a university town. We have the University of New Mexico there with attendance of probably 5,000 to 6,000 students. It is a coeducational institution. And for some years past, it has accepted Negroes as students. Recently, there have been probably a dozen marriages between white and Negro students there. Some white girls marrying Negro men, and some Negro girls marrying white men. Recently, I walked back to my office from the bank on 3rd Street, and as I walked along the street, I saw a young woman about 18 years of age, and her face indicated unmistakably that she was a country girl. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a country girl, except that sometimes they are more naive than girls who have been treated in the city. I want to say this, that the Health and Safety Report made last year applied and got its information from people, women, who call them sophisticated, intelligent, people who have taken school on much the same sort of material as communists were made out of 20 years ago. People who felt that they had a mission in this world. Now I want to say to you, sir, that if we do have the amalgamation of races as our brother has just spoken to us about, we're going to have that thing happen more and more in all sections of our country. And it's something that we can't stand. Now I think that I have vital authority. You read what happened in the Genesis chapter of Leviticus. You read what Paul says about men, nations being all of one blood. What that the Lord has delivered and down and down and thousands of their habitation. We read that Ham was chosen and made a servant of all his brethren, because of what he had done, and the Negroes are the descendants of Ham. I can assert that I am a friend of the Negroes. I take pride in what we have done for the Negroes in the present day. We want to be able to assist to help them, but that all that they need is an equal opportunity. They do not need that we shall reach ourselves with them. The Old Testament is filled with the admonition of the Lord that we should keep our blood pure. Now, I'm not one of those been told and have read in responsible newspapers that Justice Roberts talked to the president before that decision was rendered and asked what he thought ought to be done. Now, I don't believe that a political decision is that important. Remember that our Supreme Court has been under attack for many years past, and it has only reason to know the fact that all of its members are politically subversive, politically subservient. And so, I think that this decision will be overruled in the future when the common sense of each of our American people has had a chance to reveal it.
Thank you, sir. It is quite manifest, brethren, that all of us can't have all the time we'd like because there are so many of us. But we'll do the best we can. You will please know that, I beg your pardon, the chair is saying that we will do the very best we can to give everyone an opportunity. And I recognize Brother Wilspoon.
Mr. Chairman. The question, as I understand it, that is before us now, is on the motion to strike out this whole section from our report. Let me say that if we do that, we do not change the situation that confronts us one bit. We have our different opinions about race and culture and politics. We have our own desires about the working out of the future, but we are faced with a very realistic situation. The Supreme Court of the United States has made a decision that something is going to be done about this matter of equal rights as guaranteed by the Constitution. There is no immediate appeal from that. The Supreme Court also said, although we cannot but unanimously state the principle as we understand it, but we do not want to plunge the people of our land into an immediate critical situation. We therefore defer the matter of timing and the matter of procedure until the American people can have time to think it over and to work it out so that it will be for the best interests of our nation in carrying out this principle that is declared. Now, what this committee is doing tonight is not to argue the question, but to face the situation. And only to say that we Southern Baptists are not going to go in another direction when we have over our heads a banner that reads, "Forward in Jesus Christ." We're not going to shut our eyes. We're not going to shut our eyes to the fact that now in a critical period, our nation needs men of faith, men who believe in Jesus Christ, not to put our feet in the mud, but we need to lift our hearts and to raise our minds to understand as far as we can what is the Christian thing to do in a most difficult time. And if we withdraw this from our consideration tonight, we are saying to the United States of America, count Baptists out in the matter of equal justice, and I do not believe we want to do that.
Have the time extended some more if you wish it.
I move the time be extended 10 minutes.
Motion is made and seconded, and I think you'd be wise to do this, brethren. Time be extended 10 minutes in order that the brethren may have their say. Motion is made and seconded that the time be extended 10 minutes. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. I thank you, dear friend, for your information, and I believe you're right. The noes have it, and so we are.
Could we see them stand up?
No, it's so. Remember, brethren, we're not at a ballpark. We're here in business for our Lord. Time has come to take the vote on this, unless you extend the time which you said you did not want to do. And so, those in favor of striking from the report section 3, the entire section 3, will please make it known by standing. Now you are in favor of striking, let me make this clear. You are in favor of striking from the report section 3, entirety concerning the Supreme Court decision on public education. Those in favor will please stand. Very well. Those in favor of retaining it will please stand. We are now ready for the report on the entire matter. I think I must do what I have been asked to do. My very dear friend, Douglas Hudgens, asked that he be recorded as voting in opposition, and I am saying that for him. We are now ready. Beg pardon?
Who was that?
Doug Hudgens. We are now ready for the adoption of the entire report. Those in favor will.
I move we vote on them individually, sir. I think we're going the wrong way on this. I believe we probably ought. I'd like to make a motion that we vote separately on these three.
Second
motion. I'd like to make that a motion.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded that we vote seriatim on these three recommendations. Very well. Those in favor will please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary-minded, no.
No.
That means, brethren, you'll vote on the report as is. Those in favor of the adoption of this report will please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no.
No.
The ayes have it, and the report is adopted. Brethren, I thank you. You can know that this has been a trying matter. I can tell you that this afternoon, your chair has spent the time in his room in prayer about this matter. We must not be a divided people. And God help us to so be and free our minds from anything except the glory of our Lord, and that we walk together as Christian brethren. May we have now a song. I think it would be fine.
Number 23, He Leadeth Me. First and second stanzas. Let's all stand. Okay.
next item and the last item on our agenda tonight before we come to the very wonderful program of youth service will be that of the report of the Education Commission by R. Corin Cornett of Tennessee. Wahi from Tennessee. Wahi.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, the report of the Education Commission is printed on pages 285 through 287 of the Book of Reports, and it requests no action of the convention. I would like to point out a few highlights in that report, facts which should be of interest to all Southern Baptists. First, the 6% increase in regular student enrollments of our 69 Southern Baptist educational institutions. The percent of increase was greatest in the seminaries, 14%, during a period in which the enrollments in seminaries throughout the United States decreased by 10 8/10%. The total of ministerial students in our colleges and seminaries, academies and Bible schools reached an all-time high of 10,007. I wish that I could multiply that number by the average number of souls that will be led to Christ by each of those 10,007 young men. Envision a mighty army of children of God. We have cause to rejoice and thank our God that He is raising up so many young men called of Him to preach His gospel. I would call your attention to the first annual convention-wide emphasis on Christian education, April 1954, which featured the distribution of some 8 million pages, 800,000 separate pieces of literature, into 17,000 churches in 19 states in the District of Columbia for College Night and Training Union and the College Orientation Workshops, in cooperation with the Training Union Department of the Sunday School Board during Youth Week. There were 15 million pages of supporting material on Christian education in 24 Southwide periodicals, primarily the publication of the Sunday School Board and other agencies of the Southern Baptist Convention. There were between 8 and 10 million pages of material on our Christian education institutions in state Baptist papers. There are many signs of progress in Christian higher education among Southern Baptists. I would call your attention to a few. The Texas Baptist Christian Education Commission, set up following a survey of the Texas Baptist schools by the Education Commission in 1952, the commission itself set up in 1953, employed Dr. Harold A. Haswell, president of Ouachita Baptist College, formerly, as its executive coordinator, and began a far-reaching program of study and work in behalf of those educational institutions. I ask you to watch this program. It is one of the brightest spots in our whole educational picture. Dr. Haswell was succeeded at Ouachita College by Dr. Ralph Phelps, Jr. A survey of the four Mississippi Baptist colleges was carried out in March of 1953 by a seven-man committee of Baptist educators from outside the state under the direction of the staff of the Education Commission. The report was accepted by the Mississippi Baptist Convention Board in September and by the convention in November. A survey of the six Georgia Baptist colleges was conducted over a period of 6 months by the staff of the Education Commission and a committee of eight Baptist educators from outside the state at the request of the Georgia Baptist Commission on Education. The report was submitted on November 3rd. Developments which have already arisen include the working out of a formula by the presidents of the Georgia Baptist colleges for distribution of convention funds among the colleges. and meetings of the Georgia Commission with the boards of trustees of two of the colleges for study of the survey report. Perhaps the most heartening sign on the educational horizon for Southern Baptists is the rising tide of interest in our educational institutions at the level of the local church. Throughout the convention territory, there's increased interest in the guidance of our boys and girls regarding the stewardship of their talents, their abilities, and their educational opportunities. But we have a long way to go. Our greatest problem, perhaps, is that Southern Baptists do not think enough of their educational institutions, that they simply do not value them highly enough. We recognize the plus values in Christian education, and we recognize that Christian education is important. 50 to 75 years ago, however, everyone knew that the church colleges were the best in the land, academically and every other way. As the great state systems of higher education have developed, we have watched them, and we have judged our own schools by buildings in comparison, by football teams in comparison, and by the multiplicity and the variety of the social opportunities that they offer. Yes, we're aware of the extra values of Christian education, but I wonder if we haven't allowed ourselves to think of our schools as just a little bit second rate otherwise. Dr. C. Hoyt Watson, president of Seattle Pacific College, wrote a splendid article, "I Missed Getting a Christian College Education." He listed the many things that he missed by not attending a Christian college. I'll mention just one of them. He referred to, quote, "my failure to have sympathetic help on the part of teachers in relating the study and findings of sociology, psychology, philosophy, science, and the like to life values and to my own spiritual development." He lists other losses, but he sums up his attitude by saying, "Young people, please accept my advice. Let nothing keep you from attending a Christian college. You will find academic training of a high order, but of greater importance will be your gains in lasting friendships, in forming a Christian philosophy of life, in developing a personal faith and experience based upon God's word, and in the effectiveness of your Christian testimony." Last week, I congratulated the graduating class of Hannibal LaGrange College, one of our Baptist junior colleges in Missouri, upon their choice of a Christian college, and then I asked them, "You're probably aware of the extra things that the Christian college gives you, but have you ever wondered if the mathematics, if the history, if the literature, if the languages, if the music that you study at this school is on a par with the great universities of the land?" I asked that graduating class to help me pick the field in which the church college is under the greatest handicap in comparison with the great state and private schools of the land. And I named them: music, literature, languages, history, science. I went down the list, and not a hand was raised until I got to science, and then almost every hand went up. Those young people helped me pick out science as that field in which the church college, if it is at a disadvantage in comparison with the great universities of the land, in which it is at the greatest handicap. Now, I ask you to remember that as I give you some more facts. We need evidence. We need to know how our schools compare with other schools academically. We know that the Christian values in education are worth some difference. But we do not know exactly how much difference there is or whether there is a difference. The University of Chicago Press in 1953 published a book, The Origins of American Scientists. In it, the authors, Knapp and Goodrich, published the results of a study of those universities and colleges over the land which have had a good many graduates in science, and they rated those schools on the basis of what they call the scientist production efficiency of a college. They defined that as the percentage of those who earn a bachelor's degree in science that go on to get a doctor's degree in science and thus equip themselves for work in the field of science. I hold in my hand a reprint of an article from the Journal of Southern Research by Dr. A.E. Wood, The Scientist Production Efficiency of Southern Colleges and Universities. He took from this book the information about colleges and universities in 13 southern states and rated them, gave the ratings on them, listing the top 40 colleges and universities in 13 southern states in scientist production efficiency for the period 1924 to 1941. Of the top 20 colleges and universities in the 13 southern states, I asked this graduating class, how many do you suppose are state schools of any kind? State universities, state teachers' colleges, state schools. The answer is two. One is a municipal university under private control. The other 17 are listed by the American Council on Education as church-related colleges. Now, I offer you two conclusions, the conclusions of the authors of this book and this article, and my own conclusion, which differ. Both the authors of the book and the author of this article say, the numerical preponderance of the smaller liberal arts colleges is amazing. It should be emphasized that most small colleges have an environmental atmosphere highly conducive to careers in science, and they point out small classes, individual attention. I have just one question. Why didn't any of the other liberal arts colleges, the private liberal arts colleges in these 13 states, make the top 20? I say, and I propose, if God will let me, to find out what happens to pre-medical students, pre-law students, and others, because I believe that the Christian college, in teaching a sense of stewardship for God-given talents and abilities, gives a person the desire to do something worthy with those and to go on and get the training that is necessary. I challenge anyone to give an explanation of why 17 church-related colleges are in the top 20. The top school of all of them is a Southern Baptist College. Four of the top 16 are Southern Baptist colleges. Eight, and there are only 18 Southern Baptist colleges eligible in these 13 southern states, coeducational senior colleges in existence at this time. Eight of those 18 Southern Baptist colleges are in the top 40. There are six state schools of all description in the top 40. There are 29 church schools in the top 40. I say that Christian education not only gives plus values, the most important values, but it also excels by secular standards. And I propose to find more evidence for other fields. Now remember, this is the field in which the church college is supposed to be at the greatest handicap in the eyes of people. What about medicine? What about teaching? What about the fields in which the Christian motivation to serve is even greater than in the field of science? It is time for us to stop apologizing for our Christian colleges.
Thank you, Brother Cornett, and we are beyond our time now. Matter of fact, we are some 20 minutes beyond our time. Are you ready for the next order of business? You have nothing to recommend, do you? No recommendation. It is time, I believe, Brother Ed. We're so late, please. Unless you wish an extension of time, then we will go to the next order of business, which is youth service in charge of Brother Kearney Keegan of Tennessee. And he will have... service in charge of Brother Kearney Keegan of Tennessee, and he will have the remainder of the program, will close it in his own way.
Thanks a lot, Mr. President. When I came here this afternoon, after having been with thousands of students out yonder at Ridgecrest, North Carolina, beginning our student week, I came with a sense of expectancy, and I have not been let down. I wasn't let down when I talked to Dr. Porter Ruth. You can cut those, brethren. My head might hurt the eyes of the folks. Cut them right now. We'll get to that later. Thank you. We're not quite ready for them. I don't want to... thank you. I appreciate it very much. Has that one gone off to lunch already? Thank you. I thought maybe he'd gone to lunch. Brother Porter Ruth asked me if I would take an offering. Last year we had a wave offering, but we'll not do that this time. I promised that I would tell a story I learned down in South Louisiana, which I believe will be worth something to you. It seems that Jules and Teofile were out there working. Jules was working by one of these wide ditches in South Louisiana. And as he was working along, Teofile came up to him and he said, "Say, Jules," he says, "this ditch very wide," he says, "is it very deep? I know it's too wide for me to walk across right here, and I don't want to go way on down yonder to the place where the bridge is. I don't have time. I got on my hip boot, and if I can just walk across in my hip boot, I'll just walk across right here." And Jules looked at him. He said, "Teofile," he said, "you just walk across. It ain't deep." So he took his friend at his word, and he just took one step, and when he did, he went over his head. He just went out of sight, but finally Jules pulled him out over on the side of the bank, and he spluttered, and he looked at his friend, and he says, "Jules," he said, I thought you told me that ditch wasn't deep." He said, "I didn't think it was deep. Why, a little old duck with leg no longer than that just walk across here just a minute ago." I thought a while ago we were going to get into deep water, but we didn't. We came out, and I'm grateful to God for it. Will the brethren make ready now for the offering? And before we take our offering, I want to say to you that this offering goes for the general expenses of the convention. The convention has authorized that one general offering be taken during the convention period, and that it goes for the promotion of special services, and any additional amount that's left over goes into the general convention expense fund. This evening, in just a moment, we will begin our youth service. I would like, at this moment, for every person in this audience below the age of 25 to stand. If you're below the age of 25, will you please stand? Below 25. Thank you.
They did come, Doc.
Thank you very, very much. I think it's a wonderful tribute to these coordinators and workers who have meant so much in the getting ready for our service. Now, will you give, and will you give generously in order that we might take care of these experiences and expenses? Because they're experiences too, brother, I'll have you know. Look at this crowd and that crowd and some of the others. It's wonderful to have them. Mr. Bill Cody, associate in the Department of Student Work, will be the master of ceremonies of the program. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? And may we give and give generously and liberally. Our Heavenly Father, We're grateful for the opportunity of sharing our testimony for Christ with these assembled here in this great auditorium. We pray that thou will take complete charge of this phase of the service. We're grateful for all that has gone before. We thank thee for the heights to which our people have risen in Christian love and understanding and purpose. We're grateful, O God, for all that has been done. Now go with us and give us wisdom as we proceed in this service, for we ask it just for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Brother President, you know, I knew that we were at the Southern Baptist Convention tonight when we began the service by singing Amazing Grace. There is one thing that I have not heard, and if I could hear it, I would know that this was the Southern Baptist Convention. I would like to hear Kearney Keegan sing The Lily of the Valley. And if Kearney Keegan will sing The Lily of the Valley, I'll put this dollar bill in his collection plate. You put one in, too, while he sings for us. Kearney.
Oh, put it in there. Thanks a lot. I was afraid he was going to forget to do what I asked him. Thank you. If you'll use the silent money, it won't bother me at all. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here while I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall fill. Then, sweeping up to glory, to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
This is Youth Night at the Southern Baptist Convention. We dedicate this service to the young people in our 29,000 churches. They represent the leadership of tomorrow. We would challenge them to complete consecration today. Our emphasis this evening is on youth-led evangelism. The Baptist Student Union takes pleasure in presenting this hour of inspiration and challenge. This spiritual student movement, which calls for maximum Christian living on the part of every Baptist student, is promoted by the Department of Student Work of the Sunday School Board and the State Baptist Student Forces. Southern Baptists have determined long ago to follow their young people to college with a spiritual ministry. The BSU complements and correlates that spiritual ministry on our Baptist college campuses. On the non-Baptist campus, BSU is the spiritual ministry. Young people respond to a challenge from those of their own age. The curse of juvenile delinquency is evidence enough that young people do lead others in the wrong direction. The increasing effectiveness of youth-led evangelism is proof that they can lead in the upward way. Consecrated, capable Baptist students are being trained to do a specialized work in youth-led evangelism in our churches. Many of these will be serving all summer. The number will increase as the churches open their doors to this ministry and as the young people are trained to meet the opportunity. Tonight, the Baptist Student Union takes pleasure in saluting and honoring our young people, tomorrow's leadership in our churches and communities.
Rejoice, ye good in heart, rejoice, give thanks and sing. Your festal banner wave on high, the cross of Christ your King. Rejoice, 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 give thanks and sing.
Bright youth and snow-crowned age, strong men and maidens meet, raise high your glorious song on high, God's praises now you speak.
You have just heard the Great Bison Glee Club of Oklahoma Baptist University under the direction of Dean Warren Angel. I know that you want to sing. What better song could we sing than He Keeps Me Singing? If you have your book, it's 46. You don't really need it, Mr. Ferguson will be at the organ, Miss Ruth Blattner at the piano, and Dean Angel will lead us. Let's stand and sing this song. And throughout this service, let's not have any more applause. Let's remain in the real spirit of worship as we stand and sing, "He Keeps Me Singing." Shall we stand? We're going to pray now. Many of you were in Houston last year for our youth night at the convention. Mr. Howard Butt of Corpus Christi, Texas was the speaker there. He's with us tonight, and I'm going to ask him to lead us in this prayer for this service. May we bow our heads and our hearts before God. Our Father, tonight we come to thee in the wondrous name of Jesus Christ, to give the praise and thanksgiving of our hearts for the marvelous advance of thy blessing upon our denomination. In every area of activity in evangelism, in areas of Christian life and education, and we do give thee glory for it all. But tonight we turn our eyes to the future, Lord Christ, and we lift our hearts most in praise for the mighty working power of Jesus Christ in the lives of youth. How we do thank thee for the youth of this land who have taken their stand clearly and uncompromisingly for Jesus Christ, who have avowed their devotion to him in every area of life, in the ministry, in the mission fields, on the far-flung battlefields of a world, in business, in medicine, in every area of life. And in this day, Lord, when we read so much of flaming youth, the flame, the strange fire of passion and juvenile delinquency and crime, we pray that we may see flaming youth, youth burning with devotion to Jesus Christ, youth aflame with the message of the cross, youth finding a way in every area of life to declare their faith in the Son of God. And we pray that tonight our hearts may be inspired by the Holy Spirit, that young and old alike, that we all may give ourselves in fresh allegiance to Him, that we, each in our several callings, may find the way to live for Christ in the power of His Spirit. Bless these young people who will sing and testify, and this great young messenger of God who will preach. And we pray that every one of us here tonight may come face to face with Jesus Christ Himself. For we pray in the mighty and matchless name of the Son of God. Amen. I want to give a very special welcome to the thousands of young people that stood while ago. Many of them have driven 150 and 200 miles to be here for this service tonight. I'm grateful to God that the young people of this area were interested enough in this service of our convention that they've made plans and preparation to come this far. We've been working in this area for a long time getting ready for tonight's youth service. I'd like to express my appreciation to the local committee. Their chairman were Ms. Lucille Steele, the citywide BSU director, and Dr. Glenn Yarbrough, the state director of BSU work here in Missouri. They've had others working with them. Then we've had in more than 150 churches in this area young people who have served as coordinators making the plans to bring the young people from their churches here tonight for this service. Many of them have come by chartered buses. You've seen the school buses outside and the cars draped with crepe paper. They've made big plans, and we pray this service might be meaningful. It is our prayer that this service might present the claims of Christ on the lives of young people. I believe His claims are on our talents. There are out here before me thousands of young people who have real talent. And before me there are pastors and youth leaders who represent more and more young people all up and down this convention. Think what it would mean to kingdom service with these talents dedicated. Right now, we're going to hear from some more of our young people. Jack Kay, who comes from High Point, North Carolina, a senior student at Hardin-Simmons University, an outstanding music student there, is going to sing for us. And after he sings for us, the Bison Glee Club will come again to thrill our hearts, dedicated talent serving the Master. Jack.
love that brightens all my way. Now Satan's fears no more dread not death nor Satan's power. The world for me has lost its charm. God's grace sustains me every hour. I'm overshadowed by His mighty love eternal, changeless, pure, overshadowed by His mighty love. Rest is mine serene, secure. He died to ransom me from sin. He lives to keep me day by day. I'm overshadowed by His mighty love. Love that brightens all.
I know you want to applaud, and I know you mean to express in that applause your grateful appreciation for this matchless talent. But will you just hear in silence? If you want to say amen, all right. God bless you. You're wonderful.
Strife no